Here's someone who found herself a little out of her depth preparing a well-known dish.
Welcome to the French Chef. I'm Julia Child. What do you do when you have only a moment's notice and you've got unexpected company? Well, one of the great things to do is lasagna. And this is lasagna à la française, which means in the French manner. And I should add that it should be also called à la française aux USA, meaning in the United States, because I'm not a little tiny French woman, though I may look so, I am not.
Despite some struggles, the French chef persevered and prevailed, though it may have taken her a little longer than just a moment's notice. Today on Food Friday, our guest has lasagna recipes for all of us, from classics to unique twists and variations. Anna Heasel is senior editor at Taste, an online cooking magazine, and she's author with the editors of Taste of the new cookbook, Lasagna, a baked pasta cookbook. Anna, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob.
Well, you write that moment we just heard, there was kind of a pivotal moment in lasagna. We've come a long way in American recognition of the cooking of lasagna, right?
We sure have. I'm so happy that we got to listen to that clip together. That video of Julia Child making lasagna is one of my favorite video clips ever. I love that she has fun with it. She laughs. She kind of talks about lasagna a la française as if it's like something that everyone knows about and has heard of. I like, there's a moment where she boils the noodles and then sort of drapes them around a colander, as many of us would, to sort of cool them down and dry them off, and refers to them as a spaghetti laundry. Love that.
Now, in your cookbook, you cover a lot of ground, from, you know, what we might think of as a classic lasagna to, you know, crazy space age lasagnas all over the place. It's really versatile, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, Julia, her lasagna a la française might not be at the top of my list to cook today, but she's onto something when she says that it's fun. It's something that you can put together with leftovers. If you have an incredible bolognese or ragu in your fridge from last night, it can be sort of like a fun impromptu thing.
Now, what I love about lasagna type dishes is they look fancy when they come out. They take some cooking skill, but not too much for somebody like me. You don't need super fancy ingredients. It's something that really any of us can probably get a handle on.
It's so true. Yeah. I mean, before ricotta was readily available all over the United States, a lot of people in the U.S. made it with cottage cheese, and a lot of people still do. Cottage cheese, cream cheese, cheddar, kind of like whatever you could find in your local grocery store. And it still is pretty versatile. Most grocery stores today have ricotta, they have mozzarella, they have lasagna noodles. But you can still really have fun with it and experiment as much as you want.
Now, you cover different kinds of noodle options, and you just mentioned the store-bought, which is, you know, the dried noodles, which a lot of us will use. People can make their own if they want to get really fancy. I'm seeing in stores, and you talk about this in the book, and I'm a little frightened of this, the no-boil lasagna noodles. What's up with those?
Yeah, I was a little bit skeptical at first, I have to say. But they actually work really well. They turn out a little bit more thin and delicate than your standard pre-boil noodles. So you get really nice thin layers and you don't have to cook them beforehand. I would say one of the things I really like about the traditional kind that you boil is that nice kind of chewy al dente texture. It's a little bit hard to replicate with the no-boil noodles.
And you give a warning, the no-boil noodles have to be in contact with something liquidy in the pan, right?
Yeah, that's right. They have to be totally covered in sauce in order to cook. They just need that little bit of moisture.
We are talking about lasagna with Anna Heasel from Taste. Her new cookbook is Lasagna, a Baked Pasta Cookbook. Anna, let's talk about a classic lasagna tomato sauce. You've got different options in your book, but what's the key to a really good crowd pleaser?
Really good crowd pleaser. There are a few options. We have a classic tomato sauce in the book, which you can use in anything from stuffed shells to baked ziti to any number of lasagnas. There are a few awesome meat sauces, too. The bolognese is really awesome. I also love making sort of a traditional Sunday gravy. The one in the book has Italian sausage and pork shoulder and also meatballs. So it's kind of like this amazing trio of meaty flavors infusing that tomato sauce.
You shared a few recipes with us today. We've got them up at WPR.org/Food Friday. I want to take a peek at them. Porchetta spiced pork shoulder lasagna is one of them. This, you know, you've got everything from vegan to extra meaty. This is one of the meat ones. Talk about this particular recipe.
This one is one of my favorite recipes in the book. Every time I've made it, people have just gone crazy for it. You basically take a whole pork shoulder and you braise it with lots of fennel seed, crushed red pepper, some fresh rosemary, and it just becomes this beautiful, spicy, salty, garlicky sort of pull-apart meat. And then you work that into a tomato sauce and build your lasagna with layers of this beautiful pork shoulder, tomato sauce, and ricotta. It's so good. I highly recommend it.
And this is when we're cooking the pork first, and then it gets into the assembly of the lasagna. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's always great if you have a chance to make the sauce the day before, just because the more time you have to simmer it, the more flavor develops. And then it's just one less step you have to worry about, like, in the couple hours before people come over for dinner.
And that reminds me, Anna, I think most foods, you know, oh, leftovers, okay, that's cool. They're not quite as good as the first time around. Lasagna is like the Benjamin Button leftover, right? It gets better as it ages, it seems like.
I agree with that so much. I was going to say, even as a leftover slice, it looks as fancy as you would have at a restaurant. It has these beautiful structured layers. It sort of comes together a little bit. A little bit of the pasta pulls in some of the moisture from the ricotta and sauce. It is such a good leftover. I've eaten it cold for breakfast, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you.
I microwaved it at the office. If you reheat it in the oven, it gets a little crispy on top again. Any of these, I really love leftover lasagna.
I want to check out another recipe, and this one was kind of a mind-blowing one for me, but I want to try it. A spinach ricotta lasagna, but hold on, slow cooker spinach ricotta lasagna. We can make lasagna in our slow cookers?
Yes, you can. And this is another way that you can avoid boiling the noodles beforehand if you just don't have space in your kitchen for the spaghetti laundry, as Julia called it. You just put the dry noodles into the slow cooker with all of the other layers, and then you turn it on for a few hours, and it does its thing. It's great.
Does it take extra water or extra moisture in it to make sure those dry noodles get cooked, or just does the natural moisture from all the other stuff do the job?
Yeah, there's a little more moisture accounted for in the recipe just to make sure that those noodles absorb the liquid that they need to.
And can we, and you've got this particular slow cooker one is with spinach and ricotta, can we try other recipes and just add more moisture and it might come out okay in the slow cooker?
I would definitely suggest trying it. I think you want to make sure that each of the noodles is fully submerged and fully covered with sauce, sort of like when you use the no-boil noodles. But I'd encourage you to try it. Let me know how it goes, too.
We're talking to Anna Heasel, Senior Editor of Taste. Her new cookbook with some of the other editors there is called Lasagna. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you like to cook lasagna? What tips or suggestions or favorite recipes do you want to share? Do you have questions about how to make lasagna or a better lasagna? Or do you have another pasta dish you like to bake? There are other lasagna-adjacent recipes in the cookbook. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. You can pull a few recipes for the weekend over at WPR.org/Food Friday. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. We're talking to Anna Heasel, lead author of the book Lasagna, a Baked Pasta Cookbook. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you make lasagna? Have you experimented and put your own twist on the dish? What memories do you have of making or maybe eating this classic dish? Is it emotional support food for you? Or do you have a question about how to make it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Patrick is with us in Milwaukee. Patrick, hi.
Hello there. How are you?
Would you want to tell us about Patrick?
So I'm heavy on quite a few things from the garden, specifically right now, tons of squash and zucchini. I just tuned in, so I may have missed a question about this, but I wanted to use my Instant Pot to make some type of vegetable lasagna with garden surplus things, and I didn't want to look it up online.
Well, great. I'm glad you caught us, Patrick. That's perfect. So let's take that one step at a time. Anna, you definitely have some advice for using zucchini and even winter squash in our lasagna or lasagna-like dishes.
Yeah, that's right. I have not made lasagna in an Instant Pot, but I love that idea. And also, I respect the fact that you don't want to look up directions for that. I've been there, definitely. Yeah, end of summer veggies. There's a recipe for a sort of eggplant parm lasagna in the book that sort of channels all of the delicious, cheesy things that we love about eggplant parm with a lasagna. There's a summer veggie lasagna that has zucchini or summer squash or whatever you can find. And then autumn squash, there's a recipe that includes sage leaves and little cubes of squash. It's great.
Yeah, some oven-roasted squash, right, in that one?
Yeah, that's right. I have not tried it in the Instant Pot, though. I really want to hear about this, though. If you try it, you have to let us know how it goes.
Yes, Patrick, make that Instant Pot recipe over the weekend and let us know how it turned out. Well, one recipe you didn't share with us, but like, so I'll say this is the hit in the office looking at the picture. I'm probably going to end up making this one. Carbonara lasagna, and it's got fried eggs cracked over the top of it, and it looks awesome. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, this one is so cool. I mean, so when you think about it, carbonara has so many breakfast elements. There's like a carby starchy element. There are eggs. There's some kind of pancetta or bacon element. So it's great in pasta form, and it's great as a breakfast lasagna. And the way we kind of worked it out, because obviously you bake a lasagna, but the great thing about the eggs in carbonara is that you get the creamy yolk texture sort of coating the pasta. So the way we did this is you actually kind of cut four little holes, little round holes in the lasagna as it's finishing baking. And you crack those eggs into it, kind of like you're making an egg in the hole. Have you ever done that with toast?
I've made like a French toast permutation kind of like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you just crack them right in there and then you finish baking with the eggs. And you just bake it as like long enough until the whites actually turn white and the yolk is still a little bit soft and creamy.
That looks fantastic. We are talking about making lasagna on Food Friday. Anna Heasel is with us, author of the book Lasagna, A Baked Pasta Cookbook. Well, I want to get to one more recipe that you did share, and it's up at WPR.org/Food Friday. This looks good. Fried lasagna bites.
Yeah, I love this one. This is by Chef Mark Ladner, who was the chef at a restaurant called Pasta Flyer. He worked at Del Posto for many years. And this is a dish that he served at Pasta Flyer. He describes it to me as kind of wanting to eat a candy bar version of lasagna or almost like a granola bar version of lasagna. So he spent hours and hours of testing, like how do you turn lasagna into something that you can hold in your hands because it's saucy and unwieldy usually. And he discovered that if you refrigerate it, it sort of firms up a little bit. It has a little more structure. And then you can cut it into little cubes. And then once you have little cubes, you can freeze them and roll them in flour. And then they sort of build this little flour membrane, kind of like a little chicken finger or something. And so through this process, you kind of get sort of like those little pizza bites that everyone used to eat in college from the freezer section.
Oh,
of
like
the
pizza rolls.
Store.
Yeah, my kids still.
Yeah, like pizza rolls.
Demolish
yeah.
those. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're like crispy on the outside and really like gooey and saucy on the inside. Yeah, those fried lasagna bites are really cool.
That sounds fantastic. So we've frozen them in the flour, and then when we pull them out of the freezer, that's when we fry them?
Yeah, well, so basically his process is a couple times freezing, pulling out, and rolling in flour to build up this little floury wall. So it's a little bit of a process, but once you have them ready to go in the freezer, you can pull them out whenever you want. Like, if you have an impromptu party and you want to really impress your guests, you can pull a bag of them out, fry them up, serve them with some delicious Negronis.
Now, that reminds me, by the way, Julia Child in that setup we heard from her, she said this is a great meal to make for last-minute guests. That seems wrong, right? Lasagna requires some kind of premeditation.
You know, it's funny. I usually think of it as a project. I mean, often for having guests. I love to make a lasagna for guests. But we usually think of it as a little bit of a process. Like,
right.
You make a slow simmered sauce for a while and then build it into a lasagna. But she's kind of on to something. I really like the idea of making impulse lasagna, and I've done this many times, kind of like using whatever's in the freezer. And so I think if you have like a well-stocked freezer, you have like a few, you know, Tupperwares of sauce in there ready to go, you can kind of make it impromptu. And there's actually a recipe in the book using frozen ravioli. So you kind of skip the whole layering ricotta between pasta step. You layer frozen ravioli between sauce and mozzarella and throw it in the oven, and the whole thing takes about a half an hour. So that I would totally make if last minute guests were coming over.
That's reasonable. Still time for your calls, by the way, at 800-642-1234 if you make premeditated lasagna or impulse lasagna. Join us at 800-642-1234. There is, okay, this is interesting. There's a kind of a dessert section in your lasagna book. What?
Yeah, there is. So one of the craziest recipes in the book is for this Nutella lasagna that's topped with this toasted, creamy hazelnut marshmallow coating. And this comes from a taste writer named Allison Robicelli, who used to have a bakery in Bay Ridge in Brooklyn. And she made this Nutella lasagna kind of as a joke. She kind of was trying to troll her customers a little bit and make this kind of funny stunt food item. But the joke's on her because it totally caught on. People loved it. People lined up around the block for it. So her bakery eventually closed. She stopped making it, swore she would never make it again. But I begged her to let me include the recipe in the book because I love that story and I love the recipe too.
Well, let's go back to our callers now. Scott is with us in La Crosse. Scott, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, Scott?
So I came up with a recipe for a venison lasagna with spinach and bacon and toasted pine nuts.
Wow.
Ooh, tell me more.
To die for. So I started off cooking the bacon first, because venison's so lean that you kind of got to add some fat to it. And then I will, after the venison's all cooked, or the bacon's all cooked, I'll set it aside and I'll cook the venison with some mushrooms. And then I'll wilt some spinach and I'll put the bacon and the venison and mushrooms in the sauce with the wilted spinach. And then I'll toast some pine nuts and put it in there. And then I'll use that for the sauce that I layer up with the noodles and the cheeses.
Fantastic. Wow, you had me at venison,
so
bacon,
cool.
Pine nuts, spinach, and mushrooms. That sounds great, doesn't it?
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Scott. Let's bring in another caller. Sue is with us in Woodruff. Sue, hi.
Hi. I am an old Italian lady and make my traditional lasagna. And now my adult children are both gluten-free and dairy-free, as are their partners. And I'm getting a little stumped at how to change my traditional recipes to have them over for dinner.
Wow. Okay, there's a challenge, Anna. Gluten-free and dairy-free lasagna. Any thoughts?
That is. There's actually, so this is like a little bit on the outside parameters of what we might think of as lasagna, but there's a great recipe in the book by Chef Michael Solomonov of Zahav in Philadelphia for a moussaka. And the moussaka is totally dairy-free and it's noodle-free because you kind of roast these wide, thin layers of eggplants. And you layer it with this beautiful, fragrant sauce that has a lot of cumin, a little bit of cinnamon in it. And to me, it feels like eating a lasagna because there's that warmth from it. There's the really fragrant, meaty sauce, but without, kind of surprisingly, without any pasta or any dairy.
That sounds fantastic. I hope that helps. That's a great substitute. Somebody at the office was saying they'd heard of people doing a similar thing, but with sliced zucchini instead of the eggplant there. I guess that could work, too, especially with zucchini disposal.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much of it at this time of the year. It's great for that.
Now, Anna, I got to ask, you and your colleagues at Taste have been making and presumably eating lasagna for a long time now in the lead up to this book. Is it possible to get lasagna out?
Oh, man. You know what? there were a couple weeks after I filed the manuscript when I just could not eat lasagna or look at it. But sort of unsurprisingly, because I love lasagna, probably after about a month, I just came back to it and wanted to make it all the time again.
Fantastic. Anna, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, Rob.
That's Anna Hiesel, senior editor of Taste Online Cooking Magazine. We've been talking about the book. She's the lead author, Lasagna, a Baked Pasta Cookbook. We've got three recipes that Anna shared with us over at WPR.org/Food Friday, the porchetta spiced pork shoulder lasagna, fried lasagna bites, and the slow cooker spinach ricotta lasagna. Check them out. Make them this weekend.